Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
We have come to really look forward to these game day appearances with Rob.
Yeah, I look forward to a little better intro, too. What a boring intro. What happened to the...
Oh, wow, I don't know.
Getting involved.
It's not my...
Whomever's that job back at the station.
It's not my department.
Slacking
off. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay, it's okay.
But, well, really, though, I look forward to this, but you have showed up here, and you kind of ruined my day.
Yep.
Rob, I lead a very... pampered's not quite right. I don't do anything, really, like most days. Right, I just, you know, I take my younger son to school, I go to the gym, squeeze in a nap, get up, show up at the office at whatever the afternoon at some point, do this, go home, watch a hockey game, go to bed, repeat, right? I never do much. I've got a lot of time during the day, but I don't usually use it. Today I used it, and I was feeling really good. I'm like energized, like I feel great. You show up here today, you go, man, I'm tired. And now I can't stop yawning.
I just want to let you know I'm still really tired.
And you, I let you get in my head.
Hey, it's a mental thing. I've told you about these diets. It's all mental. Game's mental. Life is mental. You let that stuff sneak in, you're in bad place.
I don't think you had ill intent when you showed up, but I'm just telling you, it's had
a
negative.
I'm glad I did it, because you're going to struggle for the next whatever number of hours you're stuck here for.
Stuck here for? It's not that long, really, but I'll probably get through, but I don't know. Yeah. It just suddenly dawned on me, like, hey, I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, I ate over at the rink before I came over, and I should not have done that, because I was not feeling... Then I ate, and then that walk over was just done. So I may have to get a nap in before we start this.
All right, and you gotta.
If you don't mind, I'll leave right soon so I can go have a nap.
I'd like you to complete this. I mean, I know you don't like the open, but there are sponsors. So I mean,
it wasn't the sponsors. It was the.
No, I know.
We're gonna talk. Rob Ray. Yeah.
I know. It used to be a little more.
Yeah, it was a little more RJ or something.
Yeah. Anyway, how did you like them Wednesday?
I think it was another example of them having difficulties with a team for different reasons. You know, they Montreal came at them pretty quick and got on top of them. Not a physical team by any means, but put a lot of pressure on them. And I think they struggled with that at times, and then they figured a way to get through it at times, and then, you know, they would struggle with something else the next. But it's not so much them coming up and, you're going to struggle. The good part is they found a way to get through it. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the past, there would have been plenty of opportunity in that game, same as Columbus, to pack it in and kind of go the other way. But they stuck with what they were wanting and trying to do and eventually found a way through it. So I give a lot of credit to the coaching staff to keep them on track, and I give them credit as players as well that they were able to stay focused enough that and trust that what was being said to them from the coaching staff would continue to work if they did it. And
yep.
You maybe do that little extra, but I can you be mad with it? Nah, I think the coaches get mad at it because it's not a perfect game for them, but as a fan sitting there watching them, okay, you come out with the points. You know, I saw a lot of good things from some guys, and you know, we didn't crack and crumble.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty even game.
Yeah,
it wasn't even all the way through. It was Montreal really dominated for a while, and then the Sabres would take a turn in it. I think it was two pretty evenly matched good teams.
It was game four of a new coaching staff.
Like, it wasn't like Columbus. Columbus, they got pretty much got their ass kicked, but they still got a point. This game, I thought, was they traded more.
So they're still experimenting and learning, and, you know, some of these guys have had every year, it seems like, a different game plan, a different structure, a different coach, different everything. And it is only game four, so there's going to be confusion at some points. You know, I think Ralph said it pretty well after the Columbus game, that they created the confusion that they didn't need to. They complicated things too much instead of just keeping it simple the way he likes it. And, you know, we've noticed when they keep it simple, they can be great. You know, it's just basic things. When they try to maybe do too much, or he said today, too, he says guys are still learning when to take that chance and when not to take that chance. And too many times maybe they're taking that chance and when they shouldn't be, and that's when they get themselves in a little bit of a jackpot. But that's going to be figured out. That'll figure it out as they move forward.
Yeah, and that you know, Darlene comes to mind for this.
Yep.
I think if there has been a game in his time here, last year and then these four games, where I didn't mind if he got scaled back a little, it was Wednesday night. He just seemed to just keep kind of putting himself in bad situations with the puck. You know, obviously there's the shorthanded goal. There's another play in the third period where he's trying to work his way through people in the neutral zone, and it's a giveaway, and it's going back the other way. And I just, like, wow, just trying to do a little bit too much, I think.
But the good thing is that you have enough guys in the lineup now where you can sit the kid maybe for a shift or two, talk to him, point a few things out to him as they're happening on the ice, and then, okay, go back out there now.
Yeah.
In the past, you didn't have that depth where you could do that. You had to try to get him out there because he was one of your better D. You had to have him on the ice.
Yeah.
Now you've got that depth where you can, you know, you're confident with it, taking somebody off a third pairing and playing them in that situation for a shift or two if you have to or whatever it may be, that you don't have to force them to be out there all the time. You can take the time and teach while you're playing instead of, oh, my God, every other shift you got to be on the ice and stay out there for your minute and get off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity, and you're going to see them grow a little more from it because when you're playing, you can tell somebody what to do. But if you can have that time just to sort of sit there and look at it, that's what I say with guys, like even our young kids that are 10. The greatest teaching tool is not the blackboard. It's not on the – it's them watching themselves what they did right and wrong on a video. And, you know, we take the time every week to show the kids what they did good and what they did bad. But when they're watching themselves and their little group there, it's like their attention's just like right to it. And they'll take it in. And it's not embarrassing to them. They're not old enough yet to be, hey, nice move, you know, Goofy. And it's like, oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
But they see it. And I think that's good having, you know, even a guy like that, it doesn't matter what player it is. It could be Kyle Poso. Take him and sit him there and say, okay, this is what's going on. This is what we need to do. Watch how they just did that.
Yeah.
And then, bang, you step right on the ice and you get a chance to go rectify it.
Yeah.
That is important.
It really, I mean, I guess at a certain point when you're a pro and you've played like thousands and thousands of hours of professional hockey, it probably begins to look like it does when you step back from it. But I know, like, you know, I played youth hockey and then as an adult started playing again, and it took me until I was like 40 years old to realize, like, hey, when you got like three guys going up the ice, if one of you, like me, like in my head, like if I just lay back a little bit and then cut to the slot, like the guy's going to pass it to me and I've got a great scoring chance. And I think I spent like 20 years playing hockey just going to the net.
Yeah.
Instead of like, hey, just slow down a little, lay back here, and you find a little pocket.
This? You know where you see this is when we talk about guys sitting out in the stand, like the press box. That is the most amazing place to go watch a game, not for you and I, but for somebody to learn.
Yeah.
Because you can see where all the holes are. You can see where the soft spots are. You can see where not to go and where you should go.
Right.
And I don't like sitting up there doing a game because you see all the negative. too much. I like being down and a part of it. But you sit up top and you go, oh, look at that. Oh, they did that really nice. Right. Or, you know, oh, my gosh, there's look at the room on the other side. So as a player, I think you could sit up there and learn a ton. And I'm not saying sit up there just because you're not playing. Sit up there once in a while if you have the chance and, right. and watch. And I think it's an unbelievable teaching tool.
Yeah. Do they? Do you know if they look at video from that?
They got all different angles
when because that
they got it from right. They have those cameras where you could walk into that room right now and you could punch in Jack Eichel and his number or whatever, and every second that he was on the ice,
right.
every second that he had the puck and a stick, everything,
yeah.
like it's like there's a camera on each individual
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, the capabilities
are it's unbelievable what
really,
you can figure out and
yeah,
watch.
Yeah.
And this is another great tool that they have to, you know, at their disposal that a guy can go in and punch it in and watch what he did, right and wrong.
Yeah.
So instead of having the big overall view picture that we have teaching our kids, it's bang, Jack, see where you came across here and you came by these two guys. Well, if you went the other way, look. Look what would happen, and you can do that, and you can show it. So, it's an amazing tool.
Yeah, the new guys you mentioned, you know, the depth on defense. Yeah. Miller it comes to mind,
yep.
right? Johansson, both of these guys. I mean, they're having very good moments, and overall, their play has been very solid. And I think a good way to describe both guys is they're just solid pros. Like they're not rock stars, right? They're just good. Solid NHL players,
solid people.
Okay.
If you wanna sit there and break it down that far, yeah, you can see what they do on the ice. But talk to these guys. Talk to both of them. They're not. It's at no point are they gonna sit there and say it's about them or I this, I that. You know, I want to do this, and it's about. They know they've been around. They've been on successful teams, and they get it. Some guys get it. Some don't. These guys get it. It's just the way they talk and present themselves and the way they think about the game, and it's not about them. You know, in most games, times, it's them wanting to pass on what they have to that next guy, and they take a ton of pride in, you know, Miller helping Dahlin and Johansson helping, you know, maybe Mittelstadt or something like mm-hmm. that. They take a ton of pride in it, and those are the guys you want. You don't want the guys that are just coming in to play and worrying about themselves and the experience these guys have and what they've done and their capabilities, you want that passed on to the next guy. And both of these guys are excellent at it, and I think that's a plus-plus. You know, you're plus the way they play on the ice, but
yeah.
the way they do things off the ice is awesome.
This is something that I will try to remember. I am tired, though. I'll try to remember to bring up to Jason Botford because I wonder how much they knew about I'm sure a team wants to do as much due diligence as they yeah. can before they make a trade or sign a free agent. In case of Miller, it was
well,
a trade.
Some do.
But did they know that these guys scored so highly in the area
I
that
think
you're describing?
That guys like this have a reputation and people talk about them. So they kind of yeah. know. I would expect that, well, if they don't, they're fooling themselves. They should, when they go to make a deal like this, sign somebody. They ask about the person themselves. And you know what I like about Jason is you watch him on a game day when the opposition, you know, you're in the same hallway, right? And guys are in and out, not just players. I'm talking about coaches, other management guys, and always communicating with them, always communicating with, you know, opposition's trainers and that. It's amazing things you can find out by just standing there and talking to those guys for a couple minutes and you know what some of them are willing to pass on, some not so much, but in some cases you could find out a life story in a short period of time about somebody. So I think Jason does that, and I think that you know it's an important part. Too many times you see guys come in that great player but not so great a person off the ice and in the dressing room, and it causes more havoc. Because, you know, what he's doing on the ice is great, but what he's doing off the ice is disrupting everything.
Rob Ray here at 716 on WGR. Sabres and Florida Panthers tonight at 7, pregame at 6. We'll have Jason Bottrell here at 716 with us at 5:30 this afternoon. The Panthers.
Yeah.
Joel Quenneville.
Yeah.
That's a coach with a reputation. A lot of people, I was intrigued by him on the open market. It didn't last long. Well, I guess, I mean, he got fired, but, I mean, once the Sabres had a vacancy, he was hired in Florida like that once the season ended. Have you had any experience with Quenneville at all?
No, not as a player, just other than talking to him, you know, days of game and that, and he's a pretty open guy to stand there and talk. He's not always the guy that wants to stand in front of the media and you know, mm-hmm. do his thing, but as a player, as a, you know, alumni, he, you know, makes sure that he communicates with guys and talks to them, and yeah. not always about hockey, but other things. But, you know, he's doing a good job. You talk to the guys today, and their practices are hard. You know, they're fast.
Yeah, I heard they did a hard
really trying to establish this is the way it's going to happen, and this is the way it is in practice. It's going to transpire out on the ice, and I think that, you know, you saw that in Chicago. They practiced fast, they played fast, and it made a huge difference. And I think that he's got the tools there to be successful, and he's just got to get them, you know, in the right position, in the right, not frame of mind, but the right, you know, ways of, you know, approaching every day that it's going to, you know, carry over into the game. So
is having a bag skate on Wednesday maybe the best way, or yesterday, I think?
Sometimes you get their attention.
The best
way
to do that, think, in 2019?
Yeah, sometimes you get guys' attention because they're not used to it, because they're not going to get it. So when you do something a little bit out of the ordinary, it's like, whoa. You know, if it happens all the time, it kind of loses its thing. But
yeah.
I remember Ted Nolan on a game day in St. Louis. He skated us Wally's till we could hardly move. You were crawling off the ice in a morning skate. Why? I have no idea. And it didn't. We got smoked that night because guys couldn't do anything. But, you know, I think periodically, especially early in the year, things like that do not hurt. It gets your team's attention. And while you're rubbing your eyes, you're getting.
It's just a.
Yeah. It gets their attention. And I think that moving forward, they know what they can get away with and what they can't. And,
yeah.
And you know, as a new coach, too, you gotta kind of come in and clamp down a little bit.
I wonder, like, how the guy's got a fantastic resume, obviously, with Chicago. And even before that, he was, you know, very good in St. Louis, but obviously won the Cups in Chicago. I just wonder how long it takes for that to all sort of take hold. You know
not long. Look at Ralph Krueger coming in here.
Yeah, well.
You know, the approach he's got and the things that you're doing, that the guys are totally on board already. And it's, you know, you've been here, what, a month, half? Not even a month and a half, maybe? I don't know. So it can have a huge effect quickly. And, you know, you don't have the luxury to try stuff like that as the season starts going on because of, you know, travel and rest and all this kind of thing. So you've got to pick and choose when you do it.
All right. Home game tonight. Home game Monday afternoon.
Monday afternoon.
And then right after the game Monday, you guys
right
are
after the game, flying that's to Anaheim.
That's a change, right?
Yeah, we've never done that. But we've never really had an afternoon game leading up to it, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
So this gives you the opportunity, you know, the three-hour difference. So even if you get in the air by 7 or 8, you know, the 5 hour, you're there before midnight, and you got the next day that's, you know, the full day out there that you can, you know, practice and do whatever you want to do. And then you got back to back with Anaheim and LA, and then a day in between, play San Jose on Friday and or Saturday and come home.
Got any big plans in California?
No.
We always look forward to your reports from out west.
I'll find something. but right now, no plans. No.
Okay.
You know, the things that used to be fun out there to go run around and try to do, it's too readily available. Now it's not quite so much fun anymore.
I see. Did you see, is your buddy Randy Muller still
working
in Florida?
All right. Yeah, Denny Poffin retired, so Randy's back with the television side and in the booth doing the colors. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so he won't be, wait, will he be in the box with you?
No,
or is he
will
top?
Not. And he's only in the box a handful of games this year for.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
But he lost some weight. He looks good.
Good.
Lost some hair, lost some weight, but
I would trade.
He looks like he's feeling good.
I would trade some hair for some weight. Like I would give up some hair if I could lose.
I'm down
some
12
weight.
Pounds.
Good for you.
12 pounds.
You don't look it. All right, we'll take.
I got my haircut. I didn't think so either. That's why I got my haircut.
Didn't even know what to say.
Yeah, screw you.
Just so stunned. All right. thank you for this.
Thank you.
Safe travels on the trip to California, and we'll talk to you from out there at some point next week. That's Rob Ray. His game day visit with us here is brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. We'll take a timeout here and get back to football. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, will be on the Western Hotline with me after this. I am the Bulldog. Mike Chope has the day off, live at 716. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But the defense has been great. It's just we're a little bit less confident in defense performances going forward, especially, you know, a good performance against the Patriots, but they faced some other offenses that weren't that great. So we're a little bit more wait and see as to whether or not that top three type of defense will continue the rest of the season.
Joe, I'm so sorry. Kevin Cole from Pro Football Focus, he just told me, and I went, okay, and it just...
You know, it's a pretty generic name. I guess it's easy to...
In one ear, out the other. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I acknowledged you. I was listening, and I don't know. That must be... I'm lying, because I must not have been paying attention, because otherwise I would not have had to ask you again what the guy's name was. Anyway, he was on with Joe, and Joe's brother, Lou, he was earlier today. And now we've got Chris Trapasso, this horribly awkward moment. I don't know why I'm struggling so badly. Barrel ahead. Chris, CBS Sports, how are you, buddy? Good to have you on again.
I'm doing pretty good, Bulldog. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why. It's a struggle right now for some reason. I'll be okay. We sat at, I think it was the open practice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This summer. And here we are, five games in. It's 4-1, and Bills are in pretty nice looking shape when you look at the standings. How good do you think they are?
I think they're one of the top maybe 3 to 5 best teams in the AFC. I mean, they obviously have the third best record right now. But when you look at the Houston Texans, the Ravens, I think the Colts showed what they can do against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. But I think in terms of being a well-rounded team, the Bills are turning the ball over at kind of not an alarming rate, but that's probably the biggest weakness on offense so far. Mm-hmm. But they're getting a lot of first downs. They're running the football pretty well without having that superstar in the backfield. And the defense, like we saw with the Chicago Bears last year and a few other teams, and certainly what the Patriots are doing, that if you have a good defense in today's NFL that clearly can stop teams from scoring between 20 and 30 points a game, you can win games in this league. And they're doing it with good defensive line play, great linebacker play, and great secondary play. So they are, to me, one of the most complete teams in the AFC.
I think it is okay to say that they are turning the ball over at an alarming rate, by the way. You seem to not want to go all the way there, but, it's been kind of sloppy. I wonder how much of that do you think Josh Allen can improve on, I mean, even in the course of this year, but moving forward in his career, maybe more importantly?
I think a little bit. I don't know if we're ever going to see him be this quarterback that doesn't throw interceptions. And he just has never done that at Wyoming last year. But I do think that he realizes now that, wow, this defense is really good, and punting the football is not always a bad thing. I do think, especially the interception last week against the Tennessee Titans, wasn't that throw across the body, but it was a force. He didn't need to make the throw. I think he's really itching to hit that big play, that outside of the touchdown to John Brown in the fourth quarter against the Jets and that comeback, he hasn't really hit that big play down the field thus far. But I don't really think he needs to. I think him progressing with his accuracy in the short to intermediate ranges, and especially being more comfortable just standing in the pocket and surveying, that is what will lead to this Bills offense being competent every week, every Sunday.
Talking with Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports here on WGR. I'm the Bulldog. I'm live at 716. The Sabres play the Florida Panthers tonight. Pregame will come your way at 6. Jason Bottrell, the GM of the Sabres, will be here in about an hour from now. So, you know, Alan, I think that big play is, despite you're saying like that maybe they don't need to have it, he has improved his short, you know, short to mid level accuracy this year has been a big story to me, because I would not have told you in August when we sat together that he would be completing 64% of his passes to, you know, especially in the short and intermediate stuff. I just wasn't sure he'd ever really settle down enough to look at those passes. So that is a big improvement. I sort of feel like I do want those big plays, because that's a way to offset the turnovers. Like, people say you got to take the good with the bad. And when I think of that, I think the good as being these lightning strikes from 60 yards away.
Yeah, and I think that's part of why the Bills drafted Josh Allen, because the big arm, the gunslinger mentality, and we saw it down the stretch last year that he was still turning the ball over. He played much better, obviously, after the injury last year than he did in the first half of the season. But there were those lightning strikes late where he would have two touchdowns and two picks, but it kind of seemed like it didn't matter throwing those interceptions because he had those long touchdowns. I think that's ultimately where he'll get to. I don't know if he'll do it at the same rate that he did down the last half of the stretch last year. But for me, his pocket presence, I'm kind of going back to that again, his pocket presence has improved so much. We've seen him leave a few clean pockets, but not nearly as frequently as he did as a rookie. A lot of throws where he starts left, looks middle, looks right, and then throws an accurate pass. That is the area that I think he's improved in the most and is what bodes the most well for his future.
And he really, I think, has to improve on that, because it feels to me, I don't know, like the Patriots, I saw some cut-ups of, I guess, Jamie Collins was spying him in that Patriots game. And I wonder if teams aren't doing a better job than they did last year. I think he might have caught people by surprise with his running last year, and that's not happening at all this year. It almost, like in the New England game and even the Tennessee game, Chris, I would say it looked like both of those teams were sort of, yeah, go ahead and run. You're only going to get 6 yards. they're doing a good job of respecting their assignments and their lanes and sort of keeping him. They're doing a good job of containing his running, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, and I've seen kind of the same thing that you have, and it's just another reason why you have to go back to being efficient passing from inside the pocket. You can be Josh Allen's size with his athleticism and do what he did down the stretch last year, you know, running for 100 yards in a game, averaging 7-8 yards per carry. That's not going to last in terms of taking hits like we saw against the Patriots. And like you mentioned, there's so many athletic linebackers today that can spy you where they'll take you running for 5 yards on a third down on a third and eight. But that's, again, where I think with that linebacker spying you, then that leaves someone like Cole Beasley open or John Brown over the middle or Duke Williams on a slant. So I think him taking, and he did it a lot in the Tennessee Titans game, taking what the defense gave him outside of that forced interception, he was fine with a 7-yard completion to Cole Beasley or a 10-yard pass in between zone coverage to John Brown. That's where the Bills need to see Josh Allen improve. I think he's better than he was. Is he to an elite level doing that? Not yet, but I think the arrow is pointing up in that facet of the game.
Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports is our guest here on the West Hur Hotline, talking about the Bills on the bye here. Trades are something that have been of interest to, I think, our audience, Bills fans, and myself, while the Bills are on bye here. And I feel like a part of that is because the league, I don't think we've had a better era for trades than we had the last few years. I think like 5 years ago, Chris, if we were talking and thinking about the trade deadline, I'd be like, I don't know, trades in the NFL just don't happen. And then, like, there were a few, and, like, I feel like there's more trades than ever now in the NFL. So I feel like the trade deadline could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And we have, at least three teams with the Jets, Dolphins, and Redskins that maybe kind of sort of can be all kind of vying for that number one overall pick. Certainly the Dolphins, with the way that they've gutted their roster, have seemingly made that their main objective this season. And they still have all those teams, maybe not so much the Dolphins, have some decent players. But you're right that I think the floodgates have kind of been open the past couple of years, that it was this, you know, no one can trade. There's maybe going to be one insignificant trade at the trade deadline. But now teams are realizing, I'm not going to let a, say, A.J. Green hit free agency next year. Let's trade him now for a second or a third round pick. It's interesting with the Bills, though, because they have a lot of picks next year. They have almost $90 million in free agency. I don't know if I would give up an early pick unless Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott really feel like maybe a D-end or maybe a wide receiver is what they need to get from 9 or 10 wins to maybe 11 or 12 and go deeper into the playoffs.
Yeah, I like sitting with the idea of an A.J. Green trade, Stephon Diggs. People have asked us about Von Miller and Trent Williams. Like, first of all, do you think, like, how likely is it you think that any of those guys end up getting traded?
Pretty unlikely. I mean, obviously we hear GMs all the time. We saw Dave Gettleman this offseason say we didn't extend Odell Beckham to trade him, and then he was traded like 2 weeks later. Trent Williams to me is very interesting because that situation in Washington is so dysfunctional. Bruce Allen just came out and said, we're not trading Trent Williams, but he said, I am not going to play for the Washington Redskins.
Right.
And they have this incredibly valuable player at this incredibly valuable position who is not going to play for them. They could probably get a first or a second round pick, maybe multiple picks for Trent Williams. I think the Patriots would be interested. The Bills aren't liking that right tackle spot. They could move Dawkins there and trade for Trent Williams. I just think, though, that the Bills might be a team, even though we've seen Brandon Bean, you know, certainly make a lot of moves. If things are going pretty well by the trade deadline and they're 6-2 or 7-1, I don't know if he'll necessarily want to rock the boat. And if there is a trade, it could be something more lower level.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, in a certain way, having that kind of record is the kind of thing that makes fans want to pounce, right? Like, we're really good. Make us better. But on the other hand, you might want to go, hey, you should respect that we're really good. let's just stand pat. We'll draft some guys next year. I like the receiver idea better than Trent Williams. I think Dawkins is pretty good, really good, actually, at left tackle. I agree right tackle's a problem. I don't know how easy it is for him to go over there, though. The receiver idea, I think, is still where I would look, despite Beasley and Brown already proving to be valuable additions.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the most likely spot that they target. Stephon Diggs, potentially A.J. Green are the two obvious ones. I think Emmanuel Sanders from the Denver Broncos, if they continue to lose games, he could be an option. But like I said, with multiple fifth-round picks, they have all their, you know, first, second, third-rounders, and $90 million. I mean, we've heard about this entire Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean tenure. Trust the process. I don't necessarily think, I mean, these are two young guys with their first head coaching job and first GM job. I don't think that they're necessarily, hey, let's make the playoffs and lose in the first round. I think they're building toward this year and next year and the year after that. They've done that with keeping the draft picks, trading away players, getting rid of some bad contracts, and it's a great wide receiver draft class. There's always mid-level guys in free agency like we saw the Bills just pounce on this past offseason. So I don't think they don't need to bring in a Stephon Diggs if it's going to cost a first or a second round pick.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate it very much, and look forward to catching up with you again soon, man.
All right, Bulldog. Thanks a lot.
All right, that is Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports on the Western Hotline. We'll take a time out here. We'll get you our Rachel's Fresh Picks. Mike is not here, but I am charged with the Fresh Picks this week. So we'll sink our teeth into that coming up after this. Paul Hamilton's going to be here from 5 until 6. Jason Bottrell, Sabre General Manager, will be here at about 5:30 as well, all leading up to Sabre's pregame and eventually Sabre's Panthers tonight here at KeyBank Center. We're at 716, of course, in Harbor Center just next door. Mike has the day off. I am the Bulldog. This is WGR. Rolling along here on a Friday afternoon. sunny downtown Buffalo. We are at 716. I say we now because Paul's here. He's not on the air yet, but he's here. We'll have Jason Bottrell coming up at 5:30. Sabres pregame at 6. Sabres and Panthers eventually at 7. The second of a three-game homestand for the Sabres. It is time, even though Mike Schoep has the day off again, by the way. He'll be back on Tuesday, as will I. We have Monday off because the Sabres play a Columbus Day matinee, and the faceoff is at 3 o'clock. And, you know, our show starts at 3. So, anyway, we get the Monday off. So Mike will be back then, but it's in his absence. I have been trusted charged with completing Rachel's Fresh Picks today. Rachel's Mediterranean Grill. And my pick of the week, Mike has done, like, looked at point spreads and given you some fantasy advice. Go figure. I could give you some fantasy advice, but then I would have to quit if I did that. So my Rachel's Fresh Pick of the Week is simply this. My pick of the week is sit in your favorite chair on Sunday and just watch football until midnight. That's my pick. I will not have the opportunity to do that myself. I wish I could, but I won't. I'll be on the road with the goalie son in Cleveland until, you know, Sunday afternoon. I'll do some of that. The 4 o'clock game, but I think the 4 o'clock game is Jets and Cowboys. I don't have the ticket at home, so that doesn't sound that appealing. But anyway, 1 o'clock window looks really good. There's a 9:30 game,
yeah,
as
9:30.
Well. Right,
9:30 a.m. through midnight. That's right. That's the day.
Saddle up. There's your fresh pick. Saddle up. Maybe even get some food from Rachel's Mediterranean Grill and enjoy that while you are. Because you're going to need like three meals if you're gonna do this. You're going to run this marathon. You are going to need meals. So make one of them Rachel's Mediterranean Grill. There you go. There's the fresh pick of the week. I will take a timeout here quickly. Paul Hamilton is saddled up, speaking of saddled up, and ready to go here with me for the next hour, and we'll have Jason Bottrell right in the middle of that. So do stay tuned. I'm the Bulldog, live at 716 downtown. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.